I'll continue to talk and you go ahead and type your instructions. We just paused for those who are online to basically, I think there's a couple of people with us, the moderator and a sister with us online that are following up with us, inshallah. Just for those who just joined us, we are going over the verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. We reached verse 249. And basically we were in the middle of the story of a group of the children of Israel, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with a prophet. And their prophet, and they went to their prophet to pray to them, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to fight in the cause of Allah, to repossess what was taken away from them, such as the Ark of the Covenant, and in order for them to be able to establish their kingdom again. Their prayer was answered, and a man whom the Quran named Talut, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named in the Quran Talut, in English Saul, was assigned to be their king and their leader. And basically he was sent with a he was assigned to be their leader, and as the Quran mentions in those verses, verse 248, their prophet told them that he's going to receive, or they're going to receive a sign that this is from Allah, because the prophet basically said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned him to be the king and to be the leader. It's not even someone that I nominated, and you know, we basically have a choice either to accept or not to accept, but this is rather someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this responsibility to. And yet, you know, not all of them accepted. Most of them basically denied, and they turned away when the responsibility was laid upon their shoulders. And of course, the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to them, which was the sign that their prophet told them about. That you don't even have to go and repossess this this holy and sacred item of yours that you have lost for years, and you are not able to bring it back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send it to you, carried by angels. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, verse 248, and that's where we stopped last time. That and their prophet said to them, إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ, verily the sign of his kingdom, أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ, is that there shall come to you the tabut, or the Ark of the Covenant, فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, with sakina, peace and reassurance, tranquility, it will come with peace and tranquility from your Lord, وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ. And with a remnant of that which Alu Musa, Moses, wa Alu Harun, and the family or of Harun or Aaron left behind, تحمله الملائكة. And in order for you know, so that you won't have any confusion about this, just as a clear sign, guess what? The angels are going to be carrying it. And of course, angels only are, you know, follow the commandments and the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a clear sign from Allah, because it will be carried by the angels. And then he says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, verily in this there is a sign for you, if you are truly, and if you are indeed believers, if you are true in your claim to be believers, then in that there is enough sign for those who are believers. Now last time when we talked about this verse, I mentioned a very important point, which is that miracles, signs, do not actually produce faith. Remember when we said they rather, what happens is they interact with that which is in the heart. You know, sincerity, truthfulness, certainty, and whatever happens interacts with what is really in the heart. And if what is in the heart is good, then the result or the effect of those miracles will be positive. But if the heart is wicked, no matter what what the eye sees, it's not going to sink in. It would not be accepted. And for example, when the people of Quraysh, the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came to the Prophet and they challenged him. They said, "Oh, show us some miracles." And they even requested and they demanded. They gave him specific requests. One of which was that, can you split the moon? And the Prophet ﷺ said, if I was to do that, are you going to, if I pray to Allah to split the moon, and if you see that clearly, would you believe, would you accept? He said, of course. No doubt. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the moon was, on a night when there was a full moon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the moon to split. To the extent where they saw the two halves of the moon on the opposite sides of the Mount of Hira, so there was no doubt each half was on the other side. Yes. Yes. No, the entire Ark of the Covenant, the entire thing was brought back to them. Yes. What it is, well, the Ark of the Covenant contains, according to some narrations, contains basically, anyone remember what were the... What did we say? What were the items in that, basically in that box? We said the cane of Aaron, his slippers, huh? And the container of manna, and what else? Very important. The tablets that were handed to Moses. So these were the contents of the Ark of the Covenant, and it was all put. These, everything basically formed the Ark of the Covenant, which was basically a box that, that one could carry and all that. Now what happened is that's what they used to take with them to any war. And that was basically a source of strength for them and power. And when they were defeated, when the Philistines basically defeated them and drove them out of their land, and one of the things that they lost that was seized and was taken away from them was that, the Ark of the Covenant, which was, the most, one of the most sacred items that they had. Even that, they lost it. And this is what happens. One of the scholars actually made a very good point. He said, when people lose their faith and they lose their commitment to their faith, what happens is they lose most of the things and the items that are, linked to them. So a holy land will be lost, and a mosque will be lost, the member will be burned or will be lost, and so forth, because they cannot defend it. They don't have that faith that makes them defend it. So anyhow, the ark is brought back to them in a miraculous fashion. And in that there is a sign for those who believe. Those who really, they have true belief in their hearts, they will accept it as a sign. Those who don't have belief in their hearts, they will either think that it was a dream, or that they'll think that it's sorcery or magic, or they will say that, oh, it's just an accident, whatever. They're going to find any excuses. Even if they realize that it's the truth and it's true, If arrogance is in the heart, then it will block the heart from accepting the truth, and if people do not humble themselves before the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing can help them. The story goes on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the verses, verse 249, that's fine. I guess we'll improve. Yeah, we'll get a better microphone, inshallah. Is it? Walaikum salam. Inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. That is, when Talut or Saul set out with the army, he said, verily, Allah will try you by a river. You will be tested with a river. And here is the test. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever drinks thereof, he is not of me. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. And whoever tastes it not, whoever does not taste it, he is of me. إِلَّا مَنْ اِغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. Except he who takes in the hollow of his hand. He who takes a handful of water. That's it. So that's the amount that one is allowed to basically get. This is a test. And Saul makes it a point. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. Know that the test is from Allah. I'm not trying to give you a hard time, and I'm not trying to, but this is a test to see who's qualified. Who can actually follow the order of Allah? Who would be able to control themselves? Who is patient enough, you know, to stop themselves, you know, at the limit of one or a handful of water, and that's it, and not go beyond that. Now, if one cannot control their desire and control their and they're too weak, then they're too weak to be in the battlefield. And they cannot, you know, so they need to be disqualified. In order to be qualified, in order to qualify and to move on, then you have to pass this test. If you do not pass this test, then you're not worthy to be, you do not qualify to be in the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will have the honor of fighting the cause of Allah and the honor of being victorious. Now, the verse says, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Yet, they drank thereof, all of them, except for a very few of them. So when he had crossed the river, it said further, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who are with him. You see, before that, the description of the verse never described the army to be what a believing army or believers, but here once the test was over and only few, you know, stood fast and only few basically remained with him, when they passed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to them as what, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who actually believed, those who had proven their belief, those who had proven their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he passed or when he crossed the river, him and those who were with him, and we said that there was only few left with him. How many did we say that the narration said? According to some reports of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from what they learned from our Prophet, peace be upon him, it said that the number of the army of Saul that actually crossed the river, that the final number it was 314, which was the exact same number of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who fought with him in the Battle of Badr, the first battle. What did they say? قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده. They said, we have no power this day against Jalut, Goliath, and his hosts, or his army. I mean, can we really afford fighting these? We cannot. They are too powerful. They thought. This is a thought that came to them, and they basically discussed it among them. Can we actually fight these people? We have no power. We cannot. You cannot compare the power of those two armies. Goliath and his army are well equipped. You know, they out, you know, number the army of Saul. So they made this observation that we won't be able to match these people. But alhamdulillah, amongst them there were people who actually believed further in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obviously their belief was based on their knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Those who were certain, who knew for sure that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said to them, how often has a small group overcome a mighty host by Allah's leave? They reminded them. Don't you remember? Don't you know? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's in control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, close that verse by saying, وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, and Allah is with the sabreen, or the patient, and those who are steadfast. And that's what counts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the believers, أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. You know, be patient and outdo your enemy in patience. And that's why it's very important. Believers do not defeat their enemy because of their number or because of their power or anything. No, it's really because of their faith. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the side of the believers, then no matter how mighty, and no matter how great, and no matter how powerful their enemy may be, nobody can defeat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the companions of the Prophet ﷺ learned a very valuable lesson. In the Battle of Hunayn, they were large in number. There were about 10,000 of them. And their enemy was much smaller. One of the very few times in the history of Islam where the Muslims were larger in terms of the number of the army than their enemy. What did they say? They said that, companions of the Prophet, but some of those who newly, you know, converted to Islam, they looked and they said, whoa, we have a large army. There is no way that we're going to be defeated today. We outnumber our enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the beginning of the battle, immediately at the beginning of the battle, because they relied on their number, and they almost lost the battle. Almost. And then it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with few of his companions around him who were able to, who stood their ground until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them become victorious. So they almost lost the battle. They ran away. They scattered. The entire army fell apart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory, on the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and few of his companions. So those who actually were the ones that brought victory, by the will of Allah, were few. Okay. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Now, verse 250, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ, and when they advanced to meet Goliath and his forces, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا, they invoked, they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they said, our Lord, our Lord, bestow upon us, or pour upon us, or forth on us, patience. We don't need some patience. We need a lot of patience. We want to be showered with patience. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا And set firm our feet and make us victorious over the disbelieving people. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ And make us victorious against the disbelieving people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately says, look how the verse, as if they prayed and immediately the answer came. All of this happened. I mean, they marched on, they confronted their enemy, and before they collided, before the battle even started, you know, they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse immediately does not talk to you about what happened in between and how long it took before the victory. No, the victory immediately came. Because when believers pray, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, in the battle of Badr, which was a very similar incident to this one, when he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, victory came before the battle even started. That's why before the battle even started, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled when he saw the angels coming. So he knew angels brought with them victory. And he smiled. And he told some of the companions, that by Allah, I could see where some of the chiefs of Quraysh are going to be killed. And he started to point. Said, this is where so-and-so is going to be, slayed. And this is where so-and-so is going to fall. And he pointed out. Some of the companions say, by Allah, you know, none of those whom he named actually were found anywhere other than where the Prophet ﷺ pointed. The Prophet ﷺ specifically was told where some of those chiefs of Quraysh will fall. And he pointed. So-and-so will be found here, so-and-so will fall here, so-and-so will die here. So victory came before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ So they routed them by Allah's leave. And a very important scene from the battle is mentioned. A very important incident that happened in the battle. A name of an honorable man. And one of the greatest kings of history. And one of Allah's prophets comes out here. A young man by the name of Dawood, or David, was able to kill Goliath, this mighty, knight, the leader of his army, the strongest of all, was killed on the hands of a young boy in the name of David, or Dawood. And what did he kill him with? Slingshot. A single shot brought down this mighty and this powerful, a man with an awesome power, was brought down with a slingshot. But this is a slingshot that came out with a godly power. And that's why it was deadly. Yeah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help those who have no means but the slingshot to defend themselves. So he was brought down and he was killed. And of course his army, when they saw the fall of their leader, they also were defeated right on the spot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave David, or Dawood, he gave him al-mulk, the kingdom. Later on, he became, after the death of Talut or Saul, and Samuel, Prophet Dawood became the king. And al-hikmah, which means prophethood, knowledge or prophethood was given to him. وَأَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the kingdom. So, you see, at the beginning, when we had Saul, and with him we had who? As a prophet. Who was the prophet? Samuel. Now, when they both passed away, who became both? The prophet and the king, Dawood alayhi salam. And he possessed what it takes to be a king and to be a prophet. So Dawood later became, a combination of a prophet and a king. And he was the sole leader of that group of the children of Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes that verse by saying, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. This is a very important statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making here. That, and if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, this is very important. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not check one set of people by means of another, then what happens? The earth would indeed be full of mischief. The earth will be indeed full of mischief. It will be ruined. No one single power will be able to dominate forever. This doesn't happen. It never happened and it will never happen. If anyone says otherwise, then they need to read history. And history repeats itself. There was not a single power throughout history that was able to dominate forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, you know, one empire is in the rise, another one is born, and then, you know, they reach their peak, and then the downfall starts, and then another one takes over, and so forth. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So, you know, nothing less. دَوَامُ الْحَالِ مِنَ الْمُحَالِ, it is said that, you know, no one is, you know, everlasting in a, you know, in a certain condition. This is impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق. تلك, these are آيات, the verses or the signs of Allah. نتلوها عليك بالحق, we recite them to you, O Muhammad, in truth. Because these are some of the greatest signs of Allah. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know about this? How was he able to relate this story? تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق. These are the signs and the verses of your Lord, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which prove the truthfulness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his claim to be a prophet. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse says, وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, and surely you are of the messengers. Surely you are of the messengers. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ, these are the signs of your Lord, these are the verses of Allah. نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, indeed this shows that you are a true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a messenger from Allah. I want to stop right here. And inshallah open the floor for questions. See if there's any question that needs to be asked. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. Is there a hadith that specifically mentions that he was killed with a slingshot? Is it in the biblical? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I thought I saw it in one of those animated movies. Yeah. I'm just trying to go back to the narration and see if it was related to the Prophet or it was one of the reports known as Israiliyat that are actually taken from you know, biblical sources. Yeah, there is nothing in the Sunnah. It's actually, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It says specifically here, Ibn Kathir says that this was mentioned in the Israiliyat. Israiliyat are those narrations and reports that are related to the to the people of the book, or to the children of Israel. So this is from their sources. We can't necessarily take it as, you know. But what did he kill him with? It doesn't matter. He killed him. That's the bottom line. That a young, you know, boy in the name of Dawood, you know, brought that man down. He was the one that killed him. The Quran specifically mentions that he was the one that killed him. Okay. Any more questions? Yes. Which stone? To kill? I did not come. Of course, this story, by the way, is very inspiring. One needs to really read it carefully. And Muslims need to remember that, you know, what is happening to us. And let me just see. Is not something that didn't, you know, happen to anyone before us. We think that we are really, you know, going through a unique situation and it never happened before and all that. We think that, you know, but all we have to do really is read the Quran, read the history, and we'll find a lot of answers for many of the questions and the concerns that we have. You know, we think that nobody else had to go through what we were going through, and we think that this is totally a unique situation. What do we do? And we get very confused about the solution, and it's not actually that confusing. It can't be that confusing. It's just history repeating itself. What we need to do is just learn from the lessons of the past for the future, and for solutions of the present, you know, are in those lessons that were supposedly learned from the past. Take any situation or any problem or any challenge or any, you know, hardship or any test, you will find that it did not happen. This is not the first time for it happening. Either the same exact thing happened before or something similar to it. Yes. Okay, repeat the question again.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is that that situation is kind of similar to what happened to these people at that time. And with this story and other stories about overcoming these kind of situations, tell you a mechanism as to how to go about bringing the change. You know, for example, the mechanism of choosing out of the scale, you know, bringing about the correct sort of leadership.
I think one thing we ought to start with is the mindset. We have to have the proper mindset, the correct mindset. The mindset that will result into what? When there's a consultation or when there is a discussion of what needs to happen, you know, a mindset that will not lead us to fight and break apart from each other and divide. No, a mindset that will actually bring the best of us, you know, that will help us in those kind of circumstances and situations, bring out the best of us, that will help us actually come, you know, together and even be stronger. For example, I'll give you, when the believers were confronted in the Battle of Badr, with a situation where now they have to support the Prophet ﷺ, they're outside of Medina, they're away from their city and from their base. A large group of that army you know, maybe over almost close to 65 to 70%, you know, did not make a commitment to support the Prophet ﷺ outside Medina. Their commitment actually was that we will protect you in Medina. They didn't, and they were not ready to confront an army. They were not ready for a battle. You know, there are so many factors. Now they're confronted with a situation where the Prophet ﷺ is about, you know, to engage them in a battle for the first time with an enemy that outnumbers them, and he consults them. What do you think we should do? Should we withdraw and just go back to Medina? What should we do? Should we fight? Should we do this? And what was this situation brought the best out of these people, because they were, you know, the mindset was right. And if you remember what we said last week, we said that, you know, some of them stood up and said to the Prophet ﷺ, shared with the Prophet ﷺ very comforting statements, and they said, no, you know, you do whatever you want and we'll support you fully. You know, unconditional support, unconditional devotion and dedication. You know, if it happened, do you understand? Because the mindset was correct. Of course, leadership matters when you have the proper leadership. You know, but you know, the Prophet ﷺ did his best as a leader. But really, really, what stood out that day in the battle is not the leadership, but it's actually the those who were surrounding the leader. They showed the real, their faith basically came out that day, and it was their faith that actually helped them stand fast and prove themselves in that battle. So the correct mindset is very, very important, along of course with a clear vision. You know, what do we want to do? It was very clear to them what this all, you know, what this whole thing was all about. It was very clear. And what the problem nowadays with us is that we don't have a clear vision, we don't have the right mindset, and if you allow me to be a little more, frank, I think the problem is many of us, for example, are doing or working for Islam for the wrong reason. Or what I think is the wrong reason. Yeah. Brother Zaki, inshallah, we're going to get offline, inshallah, azza wa jal. We conclude the session, huh? We're going to get offline, inshallah. We'll conclude the session. Is there a question? You can ask me a question. I'll wait for your question, but I'm going to, inshallah, get offline if you don't mind.